It's good to be back in the house of God again. I would like to remember one of our members and her family, Sister Michelle Williams, who is at this time in the country of Guyana. She took a trip there very quickly to see her mother, who was sick. Unfortunately, she passed away. We want to remember this family, even as Sherman and the children traveled to Guyana to bury this wonderful lady who I had the privilege of meeting a few times when she visited Michigan. From a sad note to a happy note, I am told that it is not wise to ever tell the age of a woman. So I want to maintain some sense of wisdom today, and I would not give the age, but there is one who is celebrating a very special birthday today, Sister Louise Cochran. The Bible says that the years of her years are 70. That is, a score is 20. I think 3 would be 60, and 10 would be 70. Well, I don't want to give away her age, but I will tell you she is 20 past the 70. So we just want to thank God for blessing Sister Louise today, and we wish her continued happiness, even as we wait upon the goodness of God when all of us would be celebrating and Louise would be reunited with Jasper and we will have a wonderful time with God. Well, today, again, I come to share a word from God. And just like last week, could not find any spirit of prophecy commentary. Last week it was Genesis 38, very difficult passage to comprehend. And this week it is Judges 19 and 20. Look for some references, but could not find any. And so I had to really ensure that what we hear in today is sound based on what I was able to glean. This morning, we want to talk on the subject, a dismembered wife. A dismembered wife. And we thank Master Gabriel for reading the scripture for us. And I just want to, for us to read it one more time together. And then we will go into the word. Then all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and from the land of Gilead, came together as one and assembled before the Lord in Mizpah. You have seen that word before, Mizpah. You remember Jacob parting with his father-in-law, Laban, and there they had a watchtower. And today we know and we say, may the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. Here Israel assembled. They came together at Mizpah. The leaders of all the people of the tribes of Israel took their places in the assembly of God's people. 400,000 men armed with swords. Mizpah, may the Lord watch between me and thee. 400,000 men with swords. Why? The Benjamites heard that the Israelites had gone up to Mizpah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. Then the Israelites said, tell us how this awful thing happened. Give us an account. So the Levite, the husband of the murdered woman, said, I and my concubine came to Gibeah in Benjamin to spend the night. During the night, the men of Gibeah came after me and surrounded the house, intending to kill me. They raped my concubine, and she died. I took my concubine, cut her into pieces, and sent one piece to each region of Israel's inheritance, because they committed this lewd and outrageous act in Israel. Now all you Israelites, speak up and tell me this Levite, tell me as a husband, what have you decided to do? Father in heaven, speak your word to us now as we deal with this subject, the dismembered wife. You've been told before, and it makes sense. When someone tells a story, you have to be careful in the telling of the story, because it's very natural for us when we tell a story to minimize our role in the story. That may not sound good to other people. So here is the Levite telling the story, and he says, the men came to kill me, and they took my wife and they raped her. Now, I want us to read the preceding chapter together, chapter 19, and then I will make my 3 points in the message today. This is Judges chapter 19. In those days, Israel had no king. Now a Levite who lived in a remote area in the hill country of Ephraim took a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. But she was unfaithful to him. She left him and went back to her parents' home in Bethlehem, Judah. After she had been there 4 months, one, two, three, four, her husband went to her to persuade her to return. He had with him his servant and two donkeys. She took him into her parents' home, and when her father saw him, he gladly welcomed him. His father-in-law, the woman's father, prevailed on him to stay. So he remained with him 3 days, eating and drinking and sleeping there. On the fourth day, they got up early and he prepared to leave. But the woman's father said to his son-in-law, mark that expression, son-in-law, keep the word concubine in your head. Refresh yourself with something to eat. Then you can go. So the two of them sat down to eat and drink together. Afterward, the woman's father said, please, stay tonight and enjoy yourself. And when the man got up to go, his father-in-law persuaded him, so he stayed there that night. On the morning of the fifth day, when he rose to go, the woman's father said, refresh yourself. Wait till afternoon. So the two of them ate together. Then when the man with his concubine and his servant got up to leave, his father-in-law, the woman's father, said, now look, it's almost evening. Spend the night here. The day is nearly over. Stay and enjoy yourself. early tomorrow morning, you can get up and be on your way home. But unwilling to stay another night, the man left and went toward Jebus, that is Jerusalem, with his two saddled donkeys and his concubine. When they were near Jebus and the day was almost gone, the servant said to his master, "Come, let's stop at this city of the Jebusites." Remember that word, Jebusites, "and spend the night." This is the servant speaking to his master. His master replied, "No, we won't go into any city whose people are not Israelites. We will go on to Gibeah." He added, "Come, let's try to reach Gibeah or Ramah and spend the night in one of those places." So they went on. And the sun set as they neared Gibeah in Benjamin. There they stopped to spend the night. They went and sat in the city square, but no one took them in for the night. That evening, an old man from the hill country of Ephraim, who was living in Gibeah, the inhabitants of the place were Benjamites, came in from his work in the fields. When he looked and saw the traveler in the city square, the old man asked, "Where are you going? Where did you come from?" He answered, "We are on our way from Bethlehem in Judah to a remote area in the hill country of Ephraim where I live. I have been to Bethlehem in Judah and now I'm going to the house of the Lord. No one has taken me in for the night. We have both straw and fodder for our donkeys and bread and wine for ourselves, your servants, me, the woman, and the young man with us. We don't need anything. You are welcome at my house," the old man said. "Let me supply whatever you need. Only don't spend the night in the square." So he took him into his house and fed his donkeys. After they had washed their feet, they had something to eat and drink. While they were enjoying themselves, some of the wicked men of the city surrounded the house. Pounding on the door, they shouted to the old man who owned the house, "Bring out the man who came to your house so we can have sex with him." The owner of the house went outside and said to them, "No, my friends, don't be so vile. Since this man is my guest, don't do this outrageous thing. Look, here's my virgin daughter and his concubine. I will bring them out to you now, and you can use them and do to them whatever you wish. But as for this man, don't do such an outrageous thing." But the men would not listen to him. So the man took his concubine and sent her outside to them. And they raped her and abused her throughout the night. And at dawn, they let her go. At daybreak, the woman went back to the house where her master was staying, fell down at the doorway, and lay there until daylight. When her master got up in the morning and opened the door of the house and stepped out to continue his way, there lay his concubine, fallen in the doorway of the house with her hands on the threshold. He said to her, "Get up! Let's go!" But there was no answer. Then the man put her on his donkey and set out for home. When he reached home, he took a knife and cut up his concubine, limb by limb, into 12 parts and sent them into all areas of Israel. Everyone who saw it was saying to one another, "Such a thing has never been seen or done, not since the day the Israelites came up out of Egypt. Just imagine, we must do something, so speak up." And then we go to verse, Judges 20 and verse 8. All the men rose up together as one, saying, "None of us will go home. No, not one of us will return to our house." This is a heart-wrenching story. Maybe there's a reason why we don't have much commentary. There's a reason why when people read the Bible, they skip over this chapter. So you think you know him, don't you? Last week we heard of Judah, Jacob's fourth son, with Leah, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. Today we're going to talk about Levi. Don't be confused about the woman being called a concubine and then being referred to as the wife, and her father as father-in-law. Back then, if you were not espoused to be married, that is, if you were not engaged, they called you a concubine. They did not use the word wife. But she was his wife. And when we read that she was a concubine, it also means that this Levite did not give a dowry for his bride. So she was kind of a lesser bride. This Levite, we are told that she was unfaithful, and some rendition says she committed adultery. Well, we know that she did not go with another man. How do we know that? We know because if she had gone with another man, she would have been stoned to death. There is no way he was going to wait 4 months and then go to see if he can get her back. She left him and went back to her father and her mother, the Bible says, parents' house. But for some reason, and we understand why, headship and women were not that important, the mother is not featured in the story. And if you read the story well, you would see that the concubine, the wife, had no words in the story. She had, her only speech were her actions. She was pushed outside, and then she crawled with her hands on the threshold at daylight. This Levite comes to Israel And he is outraged, and they are outraged. The first point today is trying to understand the people's concern. He told them what had happened. And the Bible says that 400,000 of them gathered, and they said, "We're mad. We have never heard of something like this in Israel before. What are we going to do about it?" They were outraged. Question: are you sometimes outraged about the wrong thing? You see, they were outraged because of what they considered to be the indignity to this Levite. You may recall, of the 12 tribes of Israel, the Levites were the only ones that were not given territory. They were not. That's why with Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, we still had 12 tribes because they were divided the portion. The Levites were separated to serve in the tabernacle services. A priest had to be a Levite, but not all Levites were priests. Some were separated to serve. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say that this husband was a priest. He was simply a Levite, which meant he had special status in Israel. And when they said they gathered from Dan to Beersheba, they're not talking about the tribe of Dan. Dan, in the northern part, a city of the tribe of Asher, and then down to Beersheba, which is in the south. So they said they gathered from north to south. There was one tribe that was missing, and that was the tribe of Benjamin, because Gibeah was a part of Benjamin. And the Gibeons were the ones the 11 tribes were outraged against. They were outraged. They had concerns. And so the people's concern was with Benjamin, because they held the behavior of a few as representative of the entire group, the entire tribe. Question: do we sometimes blame a whole lot of people for the actions of just a few? We live in a country where we've seen that perpetrated day in, day out. If you happen to have this complexion, if you happen to have this hair, it is not unusual for you to be a suspect on no other grounds. You could be accosted as a 14-year-old for stealing a cell phone when you weren't not even close to the owner of the cell phone. But you see, whenever somebody does something that is wrong, that looks like you and me, if you're my color, then the whole group is so held responsible. But I am thankful that we still have enough good sense in this country that we can't hold every Caucasian person responsible for the atrocities there at the Capitol. Of course, the individuals would have their day in court, and that's the way it should be. We must be careful that we are not outraged against a whole group for the actions of a few. So the people's concern was with the Benjamites. And they responded by coming together and asking God, should we go up and fight? And they had 400,000 men together deciding what they're going to do. And they came up and they asked God, should we go up? God says, go on. And they went out that day, and 22,000 of them were killed. And they came back, couldn't understand what had happened. And they regrouped, asked God again, and they went up and they fought the Benjamites. And this time, 18,000 of them were killed. You have 40,000 Israelites dying because of a Levite who complained about what happened to him. Now, I was not missing words when I said it. If you read the story very well, the indignity was not to his wife. The indignity was to him, is what he claims he suffered. Let's go back and check this guy out. What kind of a husband was he in the first place that his wife would simply get up and go back to Judah, to her parents' home? What kind of husband was he? The people's response was, we're going to fight. So the concern was one of outrage. The response was one of, we are going to fight. They excluded the Levite as the one who created the scenario for this tragedy. They didn't put any blame on him. He was telling the story. And it's amazing that when he told the story, he never said that he seized his wife and put her outside. The verb used in the Hebrew means assault or force. She did not go out voluntarily. This Levite, this man of God, this man with status, this man who had privileges as belonging to the priesthood, those in charge of worship, was not an honorable man, but the Israelites were not upset with him. They were outraged by the actions of the few from Gibeah. Let's talk a little more about this man, this Levite. The story tells us that he went to his father-in-law after 4 months. Question, why wait 4 months? If you knew your wife left because she's mad with the way she's been treated, you know she wasn't unfaithful. You know she went with no one. You know that she did not run from good. In Guyana, we have a saying, no one runs from good. She left because of how you were treating her. And when you got to her father's place, he was so glad because you were of status. Maybe they were embarrassed to have their daughter back in the house. And so the father saw you, they welcomed you, gave you great hospitality, and begged you to stay even extra days, but you decided you had to go. And this Levite had a servant. And the Bible says, as they were nearing Jebus, oh yes, the servant said to his master, Let us spend the night here. Well, he said, and I want to read what he said. No, we won't go into any city whose people are not Israelites. We won't go into any city whose people are not Israelites. Stop for a moment. Before David had waged war and conquered Jebus, it was a heathen nation. They were not serving his God. His servant said, I think we should stay here. He said, no, I'm looking for a place with my own people. I'm not going to stay where there are no Israelites. I am not going to stay at Jebus. I'm going to go on, even though it's going to take me a few extra hours because it's a few miles longer. I'm going to go to a place where the tribe of Benjamin controls. He expected to find hate in Jebus, but love in Gibeah. Hear this, what I'm saying. He expected to find hate with the ungodly people in Jebus, but love in Gibeah of Benjamin. I wonder sometimes if we are not guilty of the same thing. We prejudge people because they don't look like us, they don't worship like us, they don't belong to us. He expected to find hate in Jebus, and so he dismissed his servant. In other words, who are you to tell me, the Levite, where I should spend the night? I know better. We must appreciate this Levite and how it is easy for us to be like him. The people are concerned, but about the wrong thing. The people respond with the wrong tactic. They went to fight, and they lost 40,000 men. We are told in verse 26 that they went to God crying, and they fasted and prayed and inquired of God, and they went back, and this time they were victorious. And they killed 25,000 Benjamites. Stop and think for a moment. What you have here is brother fighting brother. The Benjamites. I could imagine Jacob in his grave, if it were possible, turning over his last two sons. He loved Joseph, and look what happened to Joseph. And he loved Benjamin, and look what happened to Benjamin. Benjamin was ostracized. They were wiped out to the tune of 25,000. At the end of the battle, they only had 600 men left who had fled, who had escaped. And in the continuation of this message, we will talk as to the women's role and why it is important for us not to mistreat the children of God, particularly in a sexist society. You see, back then, like today, women did not have standing. The Bible does not tell us if she were dead when he opened the door. But I want you to stop for a moment and think of this Levite. This man of God, I want you to think of this Levite, this man of God. This man of God was asleep. He put his wife outside. She's being raped, gang raped, and he is asleep. And when he wakes up in the morning, first of all, who can sleep during the night peacefully when your wife is outside crying and being abused? Let's not just rush to judge him without judging ourselves. Sometimes we sleep peacefully when others are being abused around us. And he got up the morning, the Bible says, to go on his way. He got up to go on his way. And when he tried to push the door, imagine in your eyes, he's pushing the door open and there is a body. It's his wife. One would think that if he slept through the night, the first thing he would have done is knelt down, see about her health, her physicality, bring some water, bring some towel. He simply pushed. When he saw, he said, get up. He's ready to go. She was nothing. This dismembered wife, he cut her in 12 pieces, sent a piece, a limb of her to every tribe in Israel by mail. They got this body part. And they became indignant, but they were not indignant about the woman. They were indignant about the Levite. Sometimes we are outraged about for the wrong thing. And the Bible says, he simply picks her up, puts her on his donkey, and he makes his way home and decided, I'm just going to cut her up, 12 limbs, and send a body part to each tribe in Israel. A dismembered wife. What is God trying to say to us? This is not an easy passage to absorb, because you're trying to say, God, what is happening? Number one, God is telling us we can be outraged about the wrong thing. Number two, we can have the incorrect response. We want to fight. And number three, we can make the mistake like the Levite who put the blame on the men of Gibeah rather than his own actions. In the first place, if he had not mistreated his wife, she would have been home with him. He would not have made a trip to Judah of Bethlehem to get her back. But it tells me about his cowardly behavior. When trouble came knocking, he decided to put his wife in the forefront. I know I'm going to get into some trouble for saying what I'm going to say next, but it's all right. I have big shoulders. I can take it. I'm not going to call names, but I see a particular leader who's soon to leave office as the kind of person, if someone were going to shoot his daughter or shoot him and his daughter was by his side, he was going to put her in front to take the bullet for him. That is what this Levite did. He said, you are not going to abuse me. You can abuse my wife. We'll get to next week about this man who told, I have a daughter who's a virgin and you can have her too. But here is a contrast. We belong to a God who does not put us in front to take the abuse. He took the abuse for us. That's the God we serve. When they said, crucify him, he didn't say, you guys just take Barabbas. He took what was coming for us on himself. So what God is saying to me, what is he saying to you? Don't allow someone to be dismembered on account of you. Jesus stepped out. Stepped out and said, put it on me. This Levite, this godly man, this man that belonged to the only group that had priests, decided, you gotta go outside. And he slept all night while his wife was abused. She said no words in this story. She spoke by her actions. And I want you to see her. The Bible says they let her go by daybreak. I'm going to close on this. That's very interesting. They did. Watch me now. They did the dirty work during the night. And at daybreak, they scampered off and left her, and she crawled, and she got up, and she limped, and she dragged herself to the home of this man who took them in. She knew the house. She knew where she had belonged, but the door was locked. And when he got up the morning, and there she was, prostrate on the ground, he simply said, get up, we gotta go. I thank God today that when we are crawling, when we have been abused, when we have been raped by a society, by friends or family, and we're crawling and we reach sanctuary, that God does not open the door and say, let's go. He simply takes us, bathes us, cleans us, take care of our wounds like the good Samaritan, and restores us to health. A dismembered wife. In the next story, we'll talk about these Benjamites and what happened to them, and how brother can fight brother. Laban is with Jacob, and they're going their separate ways. And they said, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. Mizpah. Here, Israel, 400,000, got together with the 11 tribes so that they can wage war against the Benjamites. Not because of the tribe, but because of a few from the tribe. May God help us not to be like the Levite. May God help us to be like Jesus, who knows how to open doors. And instead of seeing someone that's in our way, who knows how to give us the health, the help, and the healing we need to make it to the kingdom. Father in heaven, we thank you for not hiding difficult stories from us. We know it's hard to even think as to what this woman would have gone through all night. We know she died from the abuse. Father, we pray that no one dies from our abuse. Help us not to be like the Levite, but to be like Jesus, who knows how to bathe and soothe wounds. May we continue to trust you. even when we don't understand some of the atrocities laid out in your word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.